Adam Taxon with Alan Corwin. Right now he is the publisher of Bloomfield Press, and he runs the website gunlaws.com. As I am, he is active with Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO. You can find that website at jpfo.org. There's also a new Facebook page, which you can find if you put in Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, which I administer. And while we're on the subject of what I administer, I also am one of the administrators for Michael Savage fan page, which is the biggest Michael Savage fan page on Facebook. That is full disclosure, because I am talking to Alan right now about a lot of the criticism that Michael Savage, who is otherwise a conservative, has been receiving, including from his own fans on his own Facebook page. There's been a lot of backlash in the aftermath of last Friday's shooting in Colorado, his call for some restrictions on body armor and on drum magazines. And this follows in 2009 when he criticized what he called assault weapons, and that was the term he used. And that resulted in a response from JPFO, an open letter to Michael Savage. So, Alan, let's first focus on body armor and your critique of Michael Savage there.
Let me get in a quick mention about JPFO. When I tell people there's an organization called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, they're usually in shock. It's been there for 20 years, and they are the most aggressive gun rights organization. When you think about it, who knows more about the problems of gun control than the Jewish community? And even though Jews very often lead the charge to support gun control or disarming the public, which is totally counterintuitive, JPFO is fighting a good fight, and they're worth a look if you get a chance. Okay, body armor. Well, Michael doesn't usually go into gun issues. He's brilliant on his politics, but he's perhaps mistaken here. Body armor is basically a defensive tool. If somebody has threatened your life, then body armor is a really good idea. The idea that the police or some government bureaucrat would make a determination as to whether or not you can buy this nonviolent, protective, self-defense, neutral kind of equipment is a very, very bad idea. Now, in Arizona, where I am, the use of body armor in the commission of a crime is itself a crime, a Class 4 felony. So you can't put on body armor and go rob a liquor store. You're committing multiple crimes by doing that. But if you're under assault, if somebody breaks into your house, if there's a threat against your life, then putting on body armor makes perfect sense. The idea that they would outlaw that is just flat out wrong. This whole outlaw gear and equipment to stop criminals from being criminals is ludicrous on its face, and I think Michael misses this point if he's arguing that you shouldn't be able to get it. The guy who used it in Colorado, well, there was nobody there to shoot him, so that hardly mattered. The president said what would happen if his children were in that audience. Well, that's pretty obvious, because the Secret Service would have taken this guy out, whatever it takes. And that was the missing element, not the fact that he had body armor, but the fact that there was no other way to stop him in a crowded room. And in fact, the irony there is this. Here are people who get to witness a blood-drenched, massive murders while they're waiting to watch blood-drenched massive murders on the screen.
Yeah.
Is there a link there? Is there a link, or is it just ironic?
You know, Alan, I will interject now that Michael Savage has been very responsible in criticizing Hollywood for their exploitation of just gory violence here. And so, to be fair, we got to give him credit there.
That's true, and he understands that the hellacious vile garbage that's coming out of Hollywood as entertainment is very seriously misguided. There were codes of ethics voluntarily adopted in the 1950s.
Yep, and he started his show talking about that yesterday, so I have to give him credit by talking about the Hayes Commission, etc. So,
the Hayes Commission, yes.
He's part of our family. We got to respect him, but critique him when he's wrong. He is a conservative, and we love him, but, you know, this is within the family now, I guess.
And look, he came out with an opinion, and he's smart enough that if he hears the other side and gets educated, he'll change his tune.
Yes.
It was considered unethical and not to be done to present a criminal or drug use in any way that glorified it or promoted its use. And criminals used to be dastardly people you wouldn't want to emulate. Today, they're the heroes of the movies.
Yeah.
They're the heroes. It's unbelievable. We have gone 180 degrees around from an ethical moral standard. Michael's well aware of that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking to him right now.
I'm sorry?
You sound just like him right now. I feel like I'm talking to him.
I sent him a note. We correspond once in a while. He's wrong. You also mentioned assault weapons. Let me clarify this once and for all. Assault is a kind of behavior. It is not a kind of hardware. Bill Clinton introduced that term in 1994, a magnificent leftist use of the language. They kill us with language all the time.
Yeah.
An assault weapon sounds so bad. This guy assaulted people with sidearms, with a shotgun, with a gas canister. That's what assault is. It's a crime, and it is not a kind of gun. CNN has been calling the AR-15 the gun we have to ban. It is the finest modern rifle made. It's a one-shot gun. It's no different than a Woodstock M1 or some other type of firearm. But the media latches onto this, vilifies things by calling it names like assault weapon. Assault is something you do, and you can do it with or without a weapon. People don't get it. I wrote something called the Politically Corrected Glossary that takes these words and turns them around so that we're on the high side of the argument instead of them. And I'll give you one classic case. A lot of people like to say we're pro-gun. I think that's a mistake, because people who hate guns think that anti-gun is the right position to take. You lose the argument if you frame it that way. You should always say you're pro-rights. Pro-rights. What does that make the other side? It makes them anti-rights.
Of course.
And who wins that argument just on the words? I have dozens and dozens of examples of where they want you to use certain words that hurt you, and you can use the better terms that hurt them. And from now on, if somebody says, are you pro-gun? You say, well, I'm pro-rights. How about you?
Yeah, I...
All of a sudden, the argument swaps.
I always see these little, what I call sorocistas here in Philly on the street, giving you this friendly grin and wave and saying, do you have a minute for gay rights at the ACLU? And I always want to say to them, I don't talk to them, what do you think of their Second Amendment rights? You know, I imagine I'm stronger on that than you, but I'm digressing here. But I think the point...
No, digression is okay. I'm in a political parody band called the Cartridge Family, and we do a song about the ACLU, and we point out that there's only 9 amendments in their Bill of Rights.
Right. But I'm thinking, the point here for Michael Savage, if for some reason he finds himself listening, is that he really shouldn't be using the term assault weapon. That's a Chuck Schumer term. What's the guy's name, Sugarman, who came up with that with a real agenda?
There's a mixed history, and it goes back into World War II, into Germany, the term assault weapon in German, which I can't pronounce. And it doesn't matter. It's, you know, when they say assault weapon, do you own any assault weapons? The correct answer is, well, I own some household firearms, the same kind you would find in any American household, and maybe in your case it includes belt-fed and water-cooled, but that's okay.
Right.
You know, JPFO did a paper. I wrote this with the rabbi, the rabbinic director, David Ben-Dori. I wrote this for JPFO on why you should want high-capacity magazines, what I typically call normal-capacity magazines, as opposed to the infringed capacity that the left is pushing now. You want to have parity with the police. The police face the same criminals you do, except that you are typically the first responder. The police are always the second responders.
Right.
And why should you have less ability to protect yourself than the police do? A 17-round magazine for a sidearm, not a handgun, that's a vilified term, a sidearm. 17-round magazine for a sidearm is normal, regular, routine, what the police consider the correct choice. You should be able to have that same correct choice as the police.
Yeah.
After all, they're our employees.
And I remind people that in Colorado, the police arrived as James Holmes was already in the parking lot, after he'd done enough killing. They were of no assistance.
Happens all the time, and yet they were on TV, promoted constantly, saying, we got here in only 90 seconds, we got here in only 2.25 minutes. Great, you were too late, you couldn't do anything, and then we get to watch police decked out like spacemen paroling around and carrying AR-15s and body armor, and they're doing nothing, but the TV producers think this is worth showing over and over.
Yeah.
And what they suppress is almost more important. The Friday before this event, two armed thugs went into an internet cafe. I imagine a lot of your listeners saw this on the internet. There were three security cameras on it. A 71-year-old man pulls out a gun and shoots them both before they can do their harm. In Aurora, Colorado, the same city this event happened in April, a guy went into a church, killed somebody, and one of the parishioners took out his gun and shot down the criminal. This happens constantly. The media suppresses it, and according to my contacts in the Associated Press, they do this because they don't want to encourage copycats.
And
so they're suppressing copycat heroes, and they're promoting copycat villains. Is it any wonder we have this problem?
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that we're not critiquing the police in this case. There's only so much they can do. It takes a couple minutes to get there after they respond to a call. So the police may have done the best that they can do, but that's not enough. Is what we're saying.
They know that, and the important thing to remember is that you are the first responder. When I mentioned this on CNN, they said the answer is not to have everybody who goes into a movie theater heavily armed. That is not going to happen. A handful of people who go into a theater or travel around the country carry sufficient arms for a dire emergency, and that's all. And the gun doesn't come out unless your life depends on it, and they understand these things. The left does not get it. One thing that comes out of the Colorado shooting is that, and finally we can put this horrible lie to rest, no guns allowed signs do not work.
They work the negative way.
I'm sorry?
They work in a negative way. There is no one who can prevent the violence.
That's true. They provide a gun-free victim zone for criminals to use, and when you look at these crimes that are committed, they are typically in these make-believe gun-free zones. We generated a bill here in Arizona 2 years in a row. We'll come back with it this year and try and get it passed. The Gun-Free Zone Liability Act. And what this says is it's private property. You can go ahead and make one of these phony, negligent, make-believe gun-free zones by hanging a sign, but you're liable for any harm it causes.
Yeah.
And we need this law to read the Riot Act to these people who are putting our lives at risk.
And last I checked, the entire state of Colorado, in fact, the entire United States, is a murder-free zone, yet people commit murders. But I do want to, you know, we were talking about assault weapons. There's one more thing I want to emphasize, that in 2009, when Michael Savage was using the term, JPFO had a letter criticizing his use of the term assault weapons and his call for an assault weapons ban, and people can find that at the archives at jpfo.org. Now, I want to also talk a little bit about drum magazines, which, along with Body Armor, Michael Savage is getting a lot of critique for asking for restrictions for. And can you say a little bit about drum magazines?
Well, hundreds of thousands of people have full-capacity magazines of a variety of types. Stick magazines, drum magazines, tubular magazines. The magazine is not the issue. And one of the problems when they draft laws about things like this, okay, so they single out a 100-round drum magazine. Well, somebody has a 99-round drum mag, or a 50, or a 25. That is not really the problem. You're not going to confiscate existing property. And when they draft these bills, it's not just about a magazine. It's 15 pages that attacks your rights from top to bottom. The key to stopping this kind of hellacious behavior is a cultural one, not an equipment problem. Why ban a 100-round magazine and not ban 25-round magazines? Does that make any sense?
Right. They were pretty effective for the Koreans in the 1992, was it? LA riots.
The approach to go after equipment to stop criminals is wrong-headed. If it denies your freedoms in the guise of providing safety, you know that's a mistake. It was Ben Franklin who originally said you deserve neither if you're willing to compromise your freedom for a little safety. And that's exactly what these proposals are. Crazy people like this can't be spotted. The only solution is to be prepared if one jumps up and starts going nuts. I just don't see a value in going after equipment.
Right.
The problem is the perpetrators.
One other thing that Michael Savage was very much critiqued for by his fans on his fan page on Facebook, once again, Michael Savage fan page on Facebook, not .com, is he was talking about what do you need a drum magazine for to kill a poor little deer? And that seemed, I think, to a lot of people very disingenuous. He knows better than that the Second Amendment is for something other than hunting. It's for, again, it was written with keeping an oppressive government in mind, and so that people could have a means to rebel against an oppressive government. Yet he talked about hunting and whether you need a drum magazine and body armor to shoot a deer. And just curious what your response is to that. I think you heard that clip.
A talk show host has a guideline of stirring up the audience, and making a mixed metaphor like that has perhaps its desired effect, because people go bonkers when they hear it. The left, it's a borrowed argument from the left. Why do you need this to shoot a deer? Why do you need that to shoot a deer? They think that shooting Bambi is absolutely wrong, so they're being hypocritical in proposing the argument. You don't need a 100-round magazine to shoot a deer. And in fact, most hunting regulations limit the amount of ammunition you can have in a magazine. Three shotgun shells, sometimes five, it's a very low limit to keep the sport more sporting.
Right.
When you have a larger capacity magazine and you're at the range, it's just much more fun, it's easier, and there's a term you never hear with guns. Guns are fun. Everybody who goes to the range has a good time. Nobody dies. No crimes are committed. It's one of the safest sports. It's the number two participant sport in the nation. $1 billion a year ahead of golf. Yet golf is on the front page, and you probably know what's on Tiger Woods' cell phone. But they never have heard the phrase shooting sports. Certainly a lot of the reporters I talk to have never heard it. So how about a 30-round magazine for a 22? It's just much more fun to be able to keep shooting and not have to keep reloading. One of the things the public doesn't understand, because they only see movie guns, or half the public only sees movie guns, guns run out of ammo real quick. And you spend more time reloading than you do shooting. So if you can go to a range with 10 or 15 magazines fully loaded and use them when you're there, you save time, you have more fun, it aids the sport.
Yeah.
You don't need a 100-round magazine to hunt a deer. In fact, you can't do that. And that's not what it's for. That's not what people use them for. These things have been sold for years and years and years, and they've never shown up in crimes, with this one exception. So now we're talking about making laws based on felonious mad men's actions.
Yeah, and
that's just not the way to do it.
I'm thinking about, you know, if you use too much ammo on a deer, you're going to get a pretty weak trophy. I keep thinking, by the way, about Robert De Niro in The Deer Hunter, a great movie. I've had the song Can't Take My Eyes Off You stuck in my head the last few days, ironically enough, and that's featured in that movie. But, you know, he always said one shot. He would give himself one shot for the deer. But
that's what a good hunter does, one well-placed shot. And, in fact, in self-defense, there's a principle that says the first hit is better than the first shot. And that's just the fundamental guideline of shooting in a smart, intelligent way and having the desired effect.
It's also better for the deer.
And it's better for the meal.
Yeah, well, it's the deer itself doesn't suffer if you kill them in one shot to the same extent.
Well, one of the reasons Jews largely aren't hunters is that the kosher laws require a very humane slaughtering, and there's no way to guarantee that when you're hunting. So Jews, by and large, aren't hunters.
Right.
But the idea that Jews, by and large, don't support gun rights is a mystery. The rabbi and I wrote a paper, Why Jews Hate Guns.
Right, I read
that. And we unraveled this mystery, and that's also up at jpfo.org. Leaders in Congress of the gun control movement, the Disarm the Public movement, are all Jews.
I think that's very calculated. I think they stick Jews in front almost for an insidious reason. Like, it's always... The question was it going to be Michael Bloomberg, or I guess Dianne Feinstein isn't actually Jewish because he had a non-Jewish maternal grandmother, or would it be Chuck Schumer? It turned out to be Michael Bloomberg, but you just knew it would be a Jew. And you know what? I want to mention one other thing, because we're talking about hunting. Yeah, Jews can't eat the meals unless somehow you can sneak up a deer and slaughter it the right way with a knife, but good luck doing that. But we have no problem with others hunting. It's just we can't eat the food that way, and we can't be cruel, but we have no problem with non-Jews doing it.
That's true. and it's a whole new wrinkle to bring religion into the firearms argument, and just this unbelievable hypocrisy and conundrum that the people who should most recognize the value of firearms to regulate and control the government are the Jews, who think the government should have all the guns and then we'll be safe. It's a search for moral utopian purity. And it's utopian. It can't be obtained. The idea that you can exert force against an enemy bothers a lot of Jews on a philosophical level. So are anti-rights on the gun issue. And it's just the wrong way to be. Anytime you come out against rights, there are negative repercussions, and that's what we face.
Alan, while I have you on, we've been on a while. Any final conclusions, whether related to Michael Savage's comments on the incident or the Colorado incident a week ago in general, the massacre, I shouldn't use the term incident, any final comments or thoughts you have that you want to give the public?
Well, as unfortunate as this is, because the left dances in the blood of victims, the media searches around for people to balance the conversation some. Mm-hmm. And the pro-rights message gets out so much more strongly when the anti-rights people are doing what they're doing and yelling for laws. I think the only thing they don't do on the pro-rights side is use this to press for good laws. We need national carry. Your rights shouldn't disappear when you leave your home state. We need a gun-free zone liability law so that anybody who makes these make-believe gun-free zones can be held liable for the harm they're causing. I'll go even further. The NICS background check system could be eliminated with another system called BIDS, which provides the same quality of background check but doesn't allow the FBI to compile records of who's buying guns. The system would work just as well, except it would save $250 million a year because you wouldn't need 900 people in cubicles answering phones. The NICS versus BIDS system is posted up at gunlaws.com. You should read it. We should press ahead with seeking this because the background check system is never going to be dismantled. I just don't see the political capital for it. So let's make the system inexpensive, just as effective, and prevent the FBI and the government from compiling lists of gun owners, which is absolutely illegal. Prevent it under statute, and the government is always looking for ways around it. Is that enough? If you want to,
oh, it's more than enough.
Gunlaws.com. There's a link right there to send me an email. I'll talk with you. You can read some of my papers, and we will move the freedom issue forward.
Yeah. In addition to gunlaws.com, I just want to emphasize that people should check out the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms page on Facebook. Just put it in the search spot. And they can go to the website, and you don't have to be Jewish, you don't have to be a paid member, jpfo.org. Alan Corwin, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. You know, half the membership in JPFO is not Jewish because people realize how effective the organization is and how they understand, the ones who understand it really do. So, like you said, you don't have to be Jewish to join it, but it's a good group to know.
All right, Alan, thanks again.